Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
In biblical times, Antioch was a city in Syria located on the south bank of the river Orontes. In the year 64 AD, Pompey made Antioch the seat of the legate of Syria and a free city. Today Antioch is called Antakya and is situated in Turkey. Antioch was one of the places where the preaching of the gospel flourished. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. We are also informed that in Antioch the believers in Christ were called Christians first. When the Christians in Antioch were told that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world, they decided in advance to gather offerings to help the brothers living in Judea. The church in Antioch serves as an inspiring example for us in relation to the fruitful preaching of the gospel. The gospel bears fruits, leading many people to faith in Jesus and making this faith express itself in deeds of charity towards brothers and sisters. Contrary to what we might imagine, however, not everything in Christianity was running smooth and free of trouble. Acts chapter 12 verses 1 to 4 show us the real picture. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. We don't know exactly in which year this took place. Nonetheless, we do know that King Herod died in the year 44 AD. From this fact, we may conclude that the events recorded in Acts chapter 12 probably occurred in the year 43 AD, about 10 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. Herod is a name used for several kings belonging to the Herodian dynasty of the Roman province of Judea. Who was then precisely King Herod mentioned here in Acts chapter 12? He was Herod Agrippa I, a non-Jew, grandson of Herod the Great who slaughtered the babies when Jesus was born. He was a nephew of Herod Antipas, who had beheaded John the Baptist and had tried Jesus. Like other Herods, this Herod was an enemy of the Christian faith and became known for his violence. Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with sword. Herod was not the only enemy of Christianity. Many of the Jews over whom he reigned were his allies. The murder of James pleased the Jews, so Herod took further action and arrested the apostle Peter also. Many times men holding position of power tend to do what pleases the crowds, without considering whether what they are doing is right or wrong. Jesus had warned the apostles of times of hardship and suffering. He said, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And again, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." The time when Herod arrested Peter was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Originally, this feast followed the Passover meal when no leaven was allowed. But at this point in time, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were thought of as one feast. This was an occasion when Jews from all over the places came to Jerusalem to join in the celebrations. Peter had been arrested. He was reckoned a dangerous criminal because Herod ordered to put him in prison under the watchful guard of 4 squads of soldiers. So there was in charge 1 company of 4 soldiers for each of the 4 watches of the night. This means extra security, a heavenly armed force. Herod wanted to make sure Peter had no chance to escape, since he intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. How did the community of believers in Jerusalem react to Peter's prison? Acts chapter 12, verse 5 gives the answer. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. In those days, Peter had no right to be assisted by a lawyer. There was nobody who could defend his cause and to plead his innocence. Peter was on his own. Well, not exactly. Peter was strongly supported by the community of believers. God granted them a powerful means by which support, guidance, and comfort come. Prayer. Earnest prayer for Peter was made to God by the church. Prayer is a very strong element in the early church, especially in times of trial. The believers devoted themselves to prayer. On an earlier occasion, when Peter and John had been brought to trial before the Supreme Council and eventually they were released, the church also raised their voices together in prayer to God. Praying with faith in Christ brings wondrous results. But don't assume that prayer is kind of a magical formula to be invoked in times of trouble. Neither does prayer rely on our seriousness, our goodness, or our efforts to be good persons. No, prayer is a child of God speaking to the Heavenly Father and relying on God's mercy, imploring to Him to come to the aid of His sinful children. Our access to God in prayer comes through Jesus Christ, who mediated our cause with the Heavenly Father by His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. God's promises to answer the prayers of His children led the early Christian church together with one accord and to pray for the Apostle Peter. Here we have again an extraordinary example of Christians joining in prayer in times of a special need. Jesus Himself prayed many times, particularly when facing challenging circumstances. He encourages us to pray for ourselves, for our loved ones, and especially for the church throughout the world. Jesus encourages us and promises, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. Jesus also teaches us to pray the so-called Lord's Prayer. When we lift our voices and hearts to God in the Lord's Prayer, we are not only praying for ourselves, but also for our fellow believers scattered throughout the world. We pray that God's name be hallowed through the faithful teaching of the gospel and through a holy life of the believers. We pray that God's kingdom may come, opening doors to the proclamation of the gospel. We pray that God may guard preachers, evangelists, teachers, and deacons in their work. We pray that God may help and comfort persecuted Christians. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask that God's will be done, and that every evil plan and purpose of the evil and the world would be broken and hindered. We pray that God would strengthen and keep Christians firm in His word and in the faith. May the example of the early Christians stimulate us to pray for each other and particularly for the church. Peter was in prison, and the community of believers was praying. How did God answer the prayers? Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 10 tell us. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly!" And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them on its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. The narrative emphasizes how secure Peter was kept in prison. There was no chance for Peter to free himself and escape. However, God can easily break through prisons, guards, and chains. In this particular case, and many others, God used an angel to bring good news to Peter. In the darkness of the night, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. The glory of the Lord shone. The angel struck Peter, woke him up, and ordered, "Get up quickly!" A totally unexpected event. Then the first miracle took place. The chains fell off Peter's hands. Something unusual, because in ordinary circumstances, chains need to be unlocked or broken. The angel hurries Peter up and gives him instructions to follow him. Where to? Out of the prison, which probably was the Tower of Antonia, located at the northwest corner of the temple where Paul was also held later. Still in a sleepy condition and overwhelmed by the presence of the angel, Peter was unable to grasp what was going on. He thought he was seeing a vision. Then the second miracle happened. The guards, who should have been on high alert, didn't take notice of the angel and Peter passing by, neither did they realize that the iron door leading to the city opened for them by itself. The angel led Peter out of the prison and walked him the length of one street, and suddenly the angel left him. The same way the angel suddenly appeared, so he also disappeared. He had accomplished his job. God has certainly also used his angels to guard you in all your ways. No doubt in your life God has done amazing miracles, especially when he revealed to you his love and his salvation in Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Where did Peter go after the angel departed? Acts chapter 12 verses 11 to 17 report. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. At first, the whole situation felt unreal for Peter. But then he came to himself and realized that something extraordinary and miraculous had happened. He acknowledged the Lord's intervention, who through his angel rescued him from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Considering that earlier James had been killed by Herod, many would expect Peter to be killed too. Peter walked free from prison, but he was not free from danger. He sought the company of the family of faith who was praying for him. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. Mary was the sister or aunt of Barnabas. Apparently, her home was a gathering place for Christians in Jerusalem. It may have been the location of the upper room where Jesus instituted Holy Supper on Thursday of Holy Week. It also seemed to have been a place of prayer. Mary was the mother of John Mark. He was perhaps the young man who fled on the night of Jesus' arrest. It is believed that John Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark. Later, John Mark accompanied Barnabas and Saul on the first leg of their first missionary journey. When Peter arrived at Mary's house, he knocked at the main entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. She heard Peter calling and recognized his voice, which indicates close familiarity. Everybody knew that Peter was in prison, and now his voice was being heard. How come? Rhoda was so overjoyed she ran back without opening the door and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door!" At first, no one believed Rhoda, and everybody thought she was out of her mind. But she was sure that it was Peter's voice she had heard. The people in the house thought, "It must be Peter's angel." This reflects the belief that everyone has a personal angel who ministers to him, adding the idea that such an angel occasionally showed himself and that his appearance resembled the person under his care. There is no sufficient evidence in the Bible to the idea that everyone has his own personal angel. Peter was still standing outside the house and kept on knocking at the door. As the door was opened and the people saw Peter, they were amazed, though they had been earnestly praying to God for him. God's miraculous interventions are incomprehensible to human beings. Peter asked the people to be silent, to make no alarm, and then he told how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Again, Peter recognizes the Lord's intervention and his miraculous deeds. Peter also wants others of the family of faith to know the good news, particularly James, the Lord's brother, a leader in the Jerusalem church. Then Peter left for another place, perhaps to seek refuge. What do we know of the soldiers who stood guard at the prison? What was Herod's reaction when he knew Peter disappeared? The answers are given in Acts chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Peter was not to be found. The prison was empty. How could that be explained? Who failed in his duty? Matters needed to be investigated. Herod searched for Peter and could not find him. The guards were cross-examined and charged guilty. Consequently, they were executed. Poor fellows. They paid with their lives for a crime they had not committed. In our days, there are instances in which criminals are running free, and innocent fellows are charged guilty and imprisoned. Unfairness and injustice are pretty common. In the sequence of the events, Herod moved to another place. Acts chapter 12, verses 19 to 22 report the following. Then Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On the appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a God, and not of a man." Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Herod moved from Judea to Caesarea to seek support from people. Caesarea was an headquarter for Roman procurators. But Herod Agrippa also used it as his capital when no procurators were assigned to Judea. Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, the leading city of Phoenicia, Lebanon today. They were dependent on the grain fields of Galilee for their food. Probably these cities were unhappy with Herod's management and wanted an audience with him. The cities secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king. He was the treasurer. On the day of the audience, Herod, in all his splendor and glory, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the audience. People acclaimed him a god, and Herod gladly accepted the acclamation. He thought of himself as being God, taking away and denying the praise which belongs to the true God alone. Then suddenly something completely unexpected occurred. An angel of the Lord struck Herod down, and he was eaten by worms and died. On certain occasions, God's intervention is drastic, particularly when people attempt to replace him with other gods. Herod accepted the acclamation to be divine. Consequently, he suffered a terrible death. As far as we are concerned, let us remember the words of the Apostle Paul registered in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Adversities can discourage people to do their job, but that was not the case of the early church. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 24, we find this striking statement. But the word of God increased and multiplied. In spite of persecution and adversities, the gospel continued to be spread and produced astonishing results. God graciously encouraged and strengthened the apostles and believers in general to give testimony to Jesus, to faithfully proclaim that there is salvation in no one else except in Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We pray God would give to us and the Christian church throughout the world the confidence, courage, and boldness our brothers and sisters of the past had. God gave us the gospel not only for our own benefit, but to be proclaimed to the world by all honest means, in churches, schools, face-to-face, by literature, radio, television, and social media. We may not always see the word bearing fruit, but God's promise never fails, as we read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." At this point of the narrative follows a note on Barnabas and Saul, according to Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Barnabas and Saul were in Antioch. Now they returned to Jerusalem, bringing with them John Mark. From here onward, the book of Acts concentrates on the ministry of Saul, who is best known as the Apostle Paul. We shall journey with Paul in the next studies. Haven't you got your ticket yet? Well, you don't need any. Just tune in to Lutheran Radio UK. As for now, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.